Good morning. Today is Tuesday, the 6th of June. Is it VE Day?
It's D-Day.
D-Day. D-Day. Okay.
Yeah.
You guys didn't hear Winston chiming in on that one. Obviously, I misinterpreted that one, huh? Yeah. Real quick. Yeah. As I'm told, only I can do.
Yeah, I'd like to go sometime just to Normandy, just to
get a sense, or
just like see the beaches that those guys had to cross.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, you know. Anyway, it would be
some of the historical stuff. I would see Notre Dame also. I mean, it'll never be rebuilt completely, but to see what they've been able to do. That's about it for that part of the country, or the world.
I thought you were going to Indiana.
Touchdown Jesus, huh?
Right on.
Yeah. See, I knew there was a Catholic boy in you somewhere.
I know a little bit.
Oh, that was funny. Yeah. And it took me a while to click on it.
Hey, Joe Montana was a Golden Domer.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, so was LaPhonso Ellis, but nobody remembers him, right?
Yeah. Bryant Young.
Other people from the 70s and 80s that we might recall. Uh-huh. All right, you ready?
No.
Okay. This one, I...
You've been saving for me?
No. the A's were playing the Orioles, and I remember Lon using the phrase, because there was an outfielder for the Orioles at the time, Larry Sheets, and he hit a screamer somewhere, and he said... He was running like three Larrys into the wind.
Three sheets in the wind?
Why do we say three sheets in the wind? I just happened to cut to it. And it was like, okay, game on.
I don't know, but I'm looking forward to the answer.
But shortly you will, yeah, okay.
I'm looking forward to the answer.
Especially on New Year's Eve and other festival occasions, you need to keep a close eye on any driver who seems to be three sheets in the wind. Whether legally intoxicated or not, anyone who weaves across the road and frequently changes speed is a source of danger. Sailors in danger of losing their lives created the phrase. Many old-time vessels performed best when the rigging was symmetrical. Outfitted with four masts and four sets of sails, a craft was expected to use all of them under most circumstances. Sometimes, though, the fourth and final set of canvas were not spread. A four-master, with only three sheets in action, was in big trouble when hit with a sudden gale. The rolling and pitching of a poorly rigged ship was much like the actions of a human who has downed too many drinks. A comparison was appropriate and inevitable. As a result, a thoroughly tanked human, barely able to get underway, is described as lacking an essential set of canvas sails and three sheets into the wind.
I am so glad I did not guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have begged follow-up.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I'm glad I didn't. But I do know some people who sail, so I'll.
I'm not sure catamarans count, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you got double hulls, it's not quite the same thing.
Yeah.
But that's all right. Yeah, they probably fit underneath the sail arm, the arm when
possibly,
it swings.
Possibly.
Some of us would be in the water in about one time.
Yeah,
duck. Where?
Wham. Yeah, you're supposed to be able to step under that, right?
Okay. Another reason. Yet another profession I'm not adequately suited for.
Yeah, well, you know that, and you know, you probably were doomed if you wanted to be a fighter pilot.
No, but I did have the astronaut aspirations when we were growing up, right? I mean, the whole Apollo thing.
Yeah, and you were probably doomed for that.
Yeah, I would have been left.
Yeah, you probably can't ride ponies.
No. Dragging feet is not. See,
we could spend the whole we could spend this whole thing talking about things Brian might not be suited for.
Gee, it could be a series.
Please call.
Yeah.
And offer your suggestions. What is Brian unsuited for today?
Oh, gee. Exciting times, mm-hmm. Undoubtedly.
Yeah, it's a great question.
Yeah. Have you gotten out from underneath all the fun and frivolity known as accounting?
I am buried in work.
How come?
Great question. I don't know. I mean, I don't know exactly. I mean, there are
Oh, reasons. You had the opportunity to say this show. Thank you very much.
Yeah, this show is clearly.
Yeah.
The clearly driver. Probably. I mean, I thought that was so obvious.
The driver, yeah.
I didn't throw that one out. But yeah.
When you're rolling your eyes at the same time, it kind of loses a little bit of its credibility.
Yeah, this was a fun. This last tax season was a funny tax season, just personally, because I had some family stuff that pulled me out of the office a little more than customary. You know, I normally work about 85 to 90 hours a week in, you know, for 12, 13 weeks. And, you know, that generally gets the job done. But I had some weeks where, you know, I could only work 75 hours or whatever, which is, you know, you lose those 10 hours, you can't make them up until you get this arbitrary extension of time. Because of the massive flooding that we had here on the North Coast and in Humboldt County specifically, in January we have this additional time for filing that runs all the way to October 16th for nearly all Californians now. I think there's only one California county that doesn't have an extension.
Oh, really? A couple more came across the line?
Yeah. So Shasta was the most recent one. So
they're moving the finish line on you.
Yeah, and I think
keep running. Yeah.
So that's part of the issue. I think that's part of it, and I think I've got some kind of special, unique projects. But I've just, and you know, and really, I mean, for the most part, I don't have any room in my schedule to take new clients. So I take a few, but not very many, because of they're related to somebody or there's some other reason. But for the most part, you know, I'm not accepting new clients right now because it's just, you know, I can't get the work done.
Yeah, if you're that far behind,
which is a concern for, you know, for the long run. You know, I think you know, a lot of the professions, whether it be you know, we obviously know the medical profession is extremely impacted right now for a number of, you know, for providers.
Law enforcement.
And what's the long term going to be for that? And that's what they look at. They look at our profession, and the average age of CPAs skews old. And, you know, as we begin to age further and it start aging out, is there going to be that group of people coming through?
I think the challenge is to make accounting sexy. We'll work on that one during the break. It's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with noted CPA and trivia expert, Bill McCauley.
Clearly, yes.
Yes.
Why do they say it?
Three McCauleys to the wind, baby. So has there been just a ton of people that are taking advantage of the extended deadline? Are these things much more complicated? Are there opportunities that weren't there before that people are wanting to take advantage of?
Yeah. Well, I think that there are people who have decided, hey, I don't have to deal. I'm not going to have to deal with it right now. And then there's just the so I think people are looking at that, saying, hey, I can wait to pay. I can wait to file. You know, we had some really kind of confusing and unclear guidance, which is not all that surprising, with regard to what happens. You know, there's been this extension of time till October 16th to file and pay for Humboldt County residents for taxes. What happens if I file, but I don't pay? And the IRS came back and said, well, don't worry, we are able to determine by the address on the return that you're qualified for this extension, we won't send you notices. Well,
now, these are the same guys that had a certain interpretation with the payroll plan that got reinterpreted. I would think that the trust level might be a little...
Well, we're always that way. We never, as a matter of fact, very few of my clients have I actually filed if they, I think they're going to owe anything, because I just am waiting to file the return until they're ready to pay, because I know what's going to happen. You're going to file the return, despite what the IRS says. Oh, we have sophisticated computer systems that will allow us to understand what your address is and if you're in an affected county. There are some other issues with that, too, because, you know, as an example, if you live in Humboldt County, but your son takes care of you and he lives in Wyoming, and the address is a care of address.
The correspondence.
Wyoming. I don't know. We'll see. I have one similar to that. We'll see how that one works out. But anyway, the point being, now we're starting to see some correspondence going, hey, you filed your return, you didn't pay. It's like,
yeah. You're right.
Because don't have to. And so,
at that point, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, if it's worth jumping on a sword for or not. But rather than going to the IRS, would it make sense to go to the congressman's office?
No.
Okay.
By the time they would get anything, I mean, potentially they could, but, you know, the reality is the IRS is using
dated
IT systems that probably are pre-DOS. They use
Abacus?
Yeah. Yeah, they actually have, they have a box of sand and they just, write in. Anyway, no, I mean, the IT systems the IRS has are old and have not been successfully modernized despite a couple of attempts and a lot of money. They kind of ended up back where they were. And so
it kind of confirms your thoughts that don't file until you put a check in the mail.
I think that's probably, that's what we have. And we have a special cover sheet that we've got on those files that are sitting there. But we had a few that I haven't seen. I haven't gotten one of the letters from one of my clients, but one of my partners went ahead and filed. And they got one of those letters saying, hey, you need to.
And you got to respond to it.
Right. And so that's the problem, is all this stuff generates other stuff to do when you're busy. And so, anyway, it's an interesting time. It's an interesting time, and there's a lot of frustrations that, I mean, and granted, a person needs to remember that these are truly first world problems. And so, when you get in there, all of us need to remember this.
Yeah, it's not like you're looking for water or something like that. Yeah.
Right, we're dealing with problems, and the problems should be expected. So this is a total rabbit hole, but I block off Thursdays on my calendars and don't take appointments on Thursdays generally. I used to basically call it a production day. But then I realized that it seems like everything blows up on Thursdays and I never get anything done. So I come in the morning at 4:30 in the morning in tax season on Thursday and I'm going to kill it. And immediately there's a problem that derails me for 4 hours or 5 hours on something that isn't, I can't make any money on it. It's just, I have to deal with this problem. It might be an IT related problem or who knows what it is or somebody's, anyway, it really doesn't matter. But the point is I call it a flex day rather than a production day because I should really put on my calendar distraction day, because that's what it ends up being. And I used to just, it would infuriate me that I was coming to work on my production day, the day I'm going to finally get some work moved.
Move some pile.
And I'm now getting rerouted. And then I had this epiphany, which is probably obvious to everybody who's listening. Is it not better that these problems strike on a day when you have time that's available than on a day when you have appointments back to back to back to back for 8 or 9 hours? And anyway, that was that epiphany. It's nice to become an adult from time to time.
It's sobering, though.
It is. Yeah, it is. Anyway.
Well, I guess that's one of the challenges being located next to bar and grill. You have your sobering moments, and go ahead. Everybody else can giggle at that during the break. Yeah. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Bill.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with CPA Bill McCauley. So, Bill, normally this time of the year, we're talking about some of the other functions that the industry provides. You know, a lot of people think all you are is a tax grinder. Okay, but I don't know. I know financial advisor has a technical legal definition, and that's probably not the right term, but consultant might be. A business consultant for folks.
Yeah.
How much of the job is that now? I mean, is that growing as people are trying to figure out what's going on or how to hedge into the future or how to go forward in the future with confidence?
Yeah, different firms are doing different things with their with the array of services they offer. You know, I think all of us, are kind of. Looking at the services we provide, making sure they make sense for the marketplace and for the future. And there's pros and cons whenever you make decisions about entering or exiting a particular service area, if you will, for what we do. As an example, since I started in accounting, which I graduated in 1983, and I've been working in accounting since July of 1983, so coming up on 40 years.
Oh, you did graduate.
I did.
I didn't.
I did. Yeah.
Something about that English 1 class that just kept me away.
Mm. Yeah.
Really?
I graduated
English
without,
1 in a PE class is what I'm away.
I graduated without a lab science, so that's my claim to fame.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How'd you pull that together?
I don't know, but that's what. Anyway, I was in different books in different schools. I went to.
Oh, you bobbed
and
weaved?
I went to junior college for 4 quarters, and I went to. Another Cal State. And
4 quarters is normally called a year.
4 quarters is a year and a quarter.
I see. 3 quarters. I got a little math in me, too.
3 quarters in a year plus the summer session. Anyway, yeah. It's like quarterlies in California. No, that's not.
Yeah.
I don't even know where I was going, Brian. I lost my train of thought completely.
Areas of outside tax preparation.
So you're looking, we're considering, we all look at these things and try to evaluate what are the right things. And, since I started, I've been involved in firms that have done audits. We've done audits of governments, nonprofits, principally some businesses, et cetera. And that was one of our services. And recently we just discontinued it because we were really not doing any business audits. We were just doing nonprofits principally, and we'd kind of stepped out of the government realm a few years ago, and we just decided that the costs of operating the service and the risks of doing it, because we were doing less and less of it, at a certain point you get to a point and you realize, okay, I got to maintain, we have to keep
efficiencies and competencies.
Yeah, and you want to have a sharp edge. Yeah. And we were concerned that our edge could get dulled, and so we just decided as a firm that we were no longer going to perform audits. And so we still do reviewed financial statements, compiled financial statements, preparations of financial statements. We still do agreed upon procedures. We still do pretty much everything else we used to do. But we also have to look at tax and say, okay, which tax things are you going to do? I have a client call and they say, well, I've got this thing going on in Ireland. I'm like, good luck, because, or whatever. The point is, it's like, okay, I don't do enough of that. You know, I can't do one-offs. If you do a one-off, it's dangerous because you make a mistake. You know, it's just if you don't do enough of it, sometimes you have to do the first one to get the next one. You got to look at that too. But anyway,
it's like the brain surgeon that does it once a year.
Right.
You don't want to sign up for that, dude.
No. And so, you know, we're making those things, and the profession. There are a number of CPAs who do financial advisory services where they actually have an arrangement with an investment house, and they make recommendations on investments and et cetera, and help people with that. We have never entered into that realm. There are people in the county who do a great job with that. We just don't want to step on their toes, nor do we think we would necessarily, you know.
Don't want
to. Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, it's just something we've chosen not to enter a marketplace. But there are others who have, and there are others who have across the country. And so every firm is sitting making strategic decisions. Well, presumably, if they're not, that's a problem. But you're making strategic decisions about what are we going to do, and what do we, you know, what do we want our firm to look like in the future, and what, you know, what do we need to do to kind of future protect the enterprise, because things do change, and you know the people we hire now, they're different. They think differently, and it's not bad. It's just different. And so you realize, okay, that's good because we can learn from that. We can, and it also helps us to go, okay, if I understand that better, we can understand where our practice needs to go, as an example.
Yeah, a better educated decision.
So yeah, the this is a long-winded answer to your financial advisory question, but yeah, there are people who do that. We don't do that. We do advisory services on tax and transactions, and you know.
So where does the SBDC come in? Because it sounds very comparable to some of the areas of knowledge and expertise that most accounting firms would have or have access to.
Well, I think they're complementary. Sometimes sometimes we look and say, you know, you should just go to SBDC, or you should go to AEDC in Arcata, or you know, you should go to one of these because they can help you and they can do it, you know, without sending you the monthly bills that we're going to send you. And so it depends. It's like my favorite answer in accounting, right? It always depends.
Well,
but there are situations where we, you know, we have a role in that business planning and that startup planning, but we try to look and say, what do we need to do and what do we not need to do? And if we don't need to do it, and if there's somebody out there who does it more efficiently or at a lower cost to our clients, we think that's a great thing. You know, again, we're busy, so you know we're okay with the idea.
You don't gotta.
We don't have to do it. We're not trying to turn a small project into a big project,
which is probably a viable fear that a lot of folks have.
Sure. Why wouldn't they? I mean, I think that's. I mean, look, we all operate out when we don't know. You know, we develop
speculation.
We get speculative, and that turns to suspicion, and that eventually that turns to an accusation. So, yeah. I mean, the whole point is, you know, operating without information, we too tend to go, I wonder how that's really happening. So communication is key.
This thing called trust comes into play.
Yeah, I don't know if you know about it in this business, but communication is important.
How do you spell that word?
It starts with a C.
Okay. Well, at least we're in the realm of phonetics. I have half a chance.
Not a K, Ryan.
Yeah, or Q-U.
U-U.
All right. K-I-N-S. That's with a K.
Yeah.
News and information time, it's 8:42. We'll be back with more from
hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. So, Billy, what do you see as the future? I mean, if the employment base is becoming narrower and narrower to find,
mm-hmm.
We've got the market and a lot of the quasi-governmental nonprofits are trying to provide a lot of those same functions. We don't see a lot of centerfolds of accountants.
What?
Sorry. Yeah, low level on the old sexy scale. Sorry.
What are you telling me, Brian?
And I would think the most challenging thing is the fact that not only government involvement, but kind of the anchor in a lot of the process is waiting to get the information out late. Mm-hmm. Is AI an option for you? Is there a way to be able to make it exciting or get rid of the Scrooge concept?
Well, everybody's looking at AI to see. Right now, AI won't successfully replace judgment. Okay.
Right.
And so what we're finding is that in the current iteration of AI, it's not ready to do that. To do the kind
can
of
can do
work
a poundage of the work that then would be
people are looking at it
partnered
and candidly, yeah. We will not be on the bleeding edge of that.
Well, I wouldn't think anybody
and so,
would
and
want
so,
to.
And so we will be watching to see what evolves with AI over time. There's a story out there that the GPT chat or some something comparable couldn't pass a CPA exam. So that's a problem.
No, but it could write the test for you.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I don't know if that's true or not. It was something that was relayed. You know, the point being it's in its infancy in terms of and it's on the other hand it's scary. And you know, I think technology, you know, anybody who's not concerned about the advance of technology in terms of the availability of information and what's being stored and what's being marketed out there,
harvesting out the information.
Yeah, the data harvesting, you know, all that's really kind of frightening if you know, when you stop and think about it.
And it's real, too.
To the degree it's going on.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I do think there's a public conversation that needs to be had about this. I think the problem is the people who are out there harvesting the data have a lot of power. And they have a lot of influence with the people who we've elected to represent us, but unfortunately listen to the dollar more than the people. And so, you know, when you have
strong lobby group.
Yeah. You've got I mean, when you look at the integrations that exist between some of these companies and the Justice Department,
the elected and staff.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, yeah, you look at it from the, you know, anyway, it's problematic and it's going to get worse, I think. And so it's one of those things that if you're not worried about it now, you'll probably be worried about it later, but then by then it might be too late.
So, yeah, I wonder if something like that for the regulators, if that might be a way for them to increase their efficiencies.
I don't know. I don't have.
That's what we're looking for.
The regulators took, they totally botched Silicon Valley Bank. You know, the banking regulators, they completely blew that one. I mean, that management blew it too. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of blame to go around on that thing. But I'm beginning to go, I don't know if these people are really up to the job. And they selectively are. I mean, they can come in and pound things, and you know. But you know, you look at some of the failures and go, "My goodness, that problem was pretty evident." And you took a promise of a corrective action plan and walked out and went, "Okay, we're not going to follow up." Anyway,
it's not like it's an individual; it's more systemic, and that I think is part of the challenge. I mean, we see it with the FDA, we see it, you know, with a number of different entities, regulators.
And you know, it's a tough job. I don't mean to act like it's an easy job. It's a very difficult job, and it does involve judgment. But sometimes it involves, sometimes some organizations carry a little more heft in the argument, and that's a problem.
So why does somebody want to be a CPA?
Oh, CPA is a great job. Are you kidding? I mean, it's a terrific job. I like my job, and I think people should, you know, I think it's a great opportunity for people. And you know, the profession-wide, we're working on initiatives to try to make it more attractive and easier, but not potentially easier, but make a clearer path for people to come on board. I think there are people who are out there. There are good young accountants, and there will be more. It's just going to take some time. And I think right now we're in a spot where we're recognizing we need to do something. But I think the profession's got a good future. I think that what we do is hard, but it's rewarding, and you get to help people, and you do it. Yeah, we get paid for that, which is a good thing. But we do get to help people. We get to work on them, help solve problems, and
you don't have to pull green chain.
No, I don't. I don't.
Can you imagine some of these?
I can't do it anymore.
Other options.
Yeah, you know.
Well, I could pull it if it was about a 6-inch chain.
Yeah. Toothpicks. I could pull toothpicks. Yeah. Anyway,
you want to feel old? I was talking to some folks last week.
I'm sure I need help, but go ahead.
Didn't know what pulling green chain meant.
Yeah.
Didn't know anything about a TP burner. What else? There was something else that was lumber, timber related in our area, and no recognition of it whatsoever.
Hey.
It's like, oh.
Put a rotary dial.
Am I getting old?
Put a rotary dial phone in front of a lot of people.
How about just a cordless?
Yeah.
You know, you have to remember what the numbers are and actually punch it. Yeah. I mean, things have changed, and I guess we must be the outliers in this one.
Well, yeah, something happened. We might have gotten old.
Yeah, let's not look backwards, okay? Yeah. All right. We're starting to need some binoculars to see where we came from.
Or to see where I'm going.
Yeah, fair enough. See everybody tomorrow.